I'm your host, Lana Nicole, and I'm here to offer my experience perspective on the ever-changing world of beauty, fashion, and design business in this podcast. Now, as a beauty insider and industry professional, I'll be offering my take on the industry's latest news, as well as offering a guide on how you can find the trends that can push your brand and image further than before. During this unfiltered and unvarnished show, I'll be getting advice from my favorite people in the business, including Hollywood makeup pros, perfumists, plastic surgeons, and even down to the manicurist at your local nail salon. With a bit of attitude and nothing but truth, I'm talking about how being in charge of your brand has never looked so good. You are listening to the Glamour Boss Podcast. Hey guys, what's up? It's your girl, Lena Nicole here. You are listening to the Glamour Boss Podcast. Listen, I know it has been so long since I have jumped on in this podcast, but so many good things have been going on. And so I just wanted to come back on and reintroduce this podcast to you. So if this is your first time here, you're listening to the Glamour Boss Podcast, where we cover a lot of things that's happening in beauty and fashion and lifestyle, and ultimately the business of all of these things. So whether you are a consumer and you want to know the hottest products, what's coming out in fashion, especially from runways to in store, even down to if you're a professional and you're looking for what's happening in the beauty, fashion, and lifestyle business. So whether that's spa, whether that's you doing anything along that line, because I want to kind of like hair extensions, lashes, anything along that line. But I also want to talk about what's happening in the industry on our ends. So how to make you a better service-based provider in the beauty industry, or in the fashion industry. So if you're working in retail, if you're selling anything, what's happening, of course, in the market, what's going on, so you can be abreast of changes, new things that's probably even happening in retail for as your POS system, new products on the market. And like I said, and even if you are a consumer and you're listening in and you're thinking about either going into this industry, maybe you're even saying, hey, I want to try a different service-based provider, or I want to try something different. I believe you will get so much from this podcast. And ultimately, if you didn't know, this podcast is connected to a magazine. So I started a magazine a couple years ago, and I wanted to have this huge team to do all of these creative innovation things. But I also feel like with COVID and people, you know, protecting themselves with distance, and sometimes as creatives, it can be hard for us to find the photographer and the makeup artist and the hairstylist for a lot of times for us to do these elaborate shoots we want to do. But if you are not in the loop with what's happening, especially when it concerns, let's just start there, technology. AI has completely taken over, especially in 2023, with what's happening if you are a service-based provider or if you're creative. So new programs like ChatGPT, Midjourney, where you're able to, one, plug in, make blog posts, make copies. You're also now able to use product, you know, products, even though it is a product. You're able to use platforms like Midjourney, where you're able to go in and literally type in prompts and they kick you back a beautiful image. Well, but what I did with Glamour Boss Magazine, I've decided to make it AI focused. I started to play around with it, and as I was doing it, I was making these amazing advertising campaigns. And these were the things that I felt like I really wanted to see when I worked in different makeup companies, working in retails, and even being behind the scenes working. I wanted to see these type of campaigns, whether it was on women of color, whether it was on white women, Asian women. I just felt like a lot of these ads should have been more elaborate, more glamorous, if you're giving me glam, right? That's just how I feel. So with Glamour Boss Magazine and the power of AI, we have completely rebranded this magazine using the help of AI and really, really showcasing how we feel like beauty should be done and what we feel like our audience is looking for. When you're looking for new colors and new trends and new ideas, makeup is a huge part of that to help you express yourself, tell a story, and even, let's be honest, how to sell a product. So I hope with this podcast and with this magazine, you are more excited about trying new products, looking at beauty from a different lens, and also the story behind the scenes of what we're trying to do as creatives. When we are trying to sell you, whether it's a hot comb, an eyelash, a dress, or a shoe, we want you to come into the brand world and the experience of what that brand is about, why we are telling the story, why we're showing these pictures. So be sure to check out the magazine. It's www.glamourbossmagazine.com, and you'll see all the new campaigns. Be sure to sign up for the newsletter, because what I decided to do with the newsletter was a little different and off the edge. I grew up watching soap operas all the time. So Bold and Beautiful, Young and the Restless. And I started to think, what would a reality show, well, not even a reality show, what would a soap opera look like if you were working at a magazine or if you were in the beauty world? So if you go check out our newsletter, it's called Digital Glamour, and this whole newsletter is also a back-end story. So this story ties into London Nicole and this whole world of being in Glam City, and it starts off in 2025. And what would beauty look like, and how does the staff work together? And you get into, it's so much, it's so many details. I don't want to talk your head off because I want you to go read it and check it out. But overall, you get into this backstory about this woman who starts this magazine with her friends and all the different competitors that they have to fight in order to really kind of stand out. So from rivals to other beauty companies who are sabotaging them to other companies who are completely ripping off campaigns, you kind of get to see behind the scenes what really goes into making an ad, advertisers, products, product shows, fashion shows. So I really want it to be really engaging and a fun way to, again, talk about what's happening behind the scenes. So I feel like it's a little bit of entertainment and education. But ultimately, with this podcast today, I really want to talk about AI, what's happening with this magazine, and what, like I said, what we plan on doing. And also a couple things, too. Where do you see beauty, especially in 2023? This entire month of June, with this podcast and with the magazine, we're talking about innovation and diversity. So I'm going to name this podcast Black in Style. So a lot of times when we talk about diversity and we talk about women of color or people not being seen enough, we never really, really go into depth of what that looks like. So I had to, with this podcast coming back into really podcasting again when we talk about beauty, my really, 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 really good friend Jay Sky, who is a professional makeup artist himself. He's worked in retail. He's trained. On top of that, he's also a drag performer. And the reason I wanted him to come on today, he's about to jump on to talk about all of these things, because when you are in so many places, from behind working at a counter to actually going out to do freelance stuff to traveling and being a trainer for different makeup companies, as well as using the products yourself in a drag performance, you get to see products in a whole different way. And when Jay comes up here, to me, I feel like, and I don't know if it's a MAC thing or being a MAC girl, because I was a MAC girl before and a product specialist, but it's something about people who know their products that it just, I'm telling you, they're like saving grace. And I remember tons of times, I think it was probably in the middle of COVID, we were going back and forth through our makeup kit about what was working and what wasn't. And the product, this is when I really knew he was a product person. He was really breaking down, like, if you use that skincare with this makeup, it's gonna run, it's gonna taint, it's gonna do this. And I remember we were going back and forth about what was hot on the market, and he knew everything that was happening, what was working, what wasn't working. So I have to invite Jay Sky on, because we're gonna just really, really get into this conversation of innovation and beauty. And do we really see enough of it on the shelves, in magazines, and on the counter? Jay Sky, you there, baby? So Jay, let me ask you this. So I know me and you talk about products and we talk about makeup all the time. And with this podcast, let me back up and say that, with this podcast being Black in Style, and I feel like you've heard the conversation too. And as a man of color and doing makeup and being in the industry and working in it as well, we've both heard tons of customers coming in the store before. We've seen it online saying there's not enough products for women of color. And also looking at trend reports saying that in most places, it's only about 1%, even on the market, on the hair market, on the hair market, makeup market, there's only about 1% of it for us, made by us. Of course, you know, hearing that percentage is already in the answer. But do you feel like there's enough? Because I also hear people saying it back, that there's enough for us, from Fenty out here, to Pat McGrath Labs, to all of these people coming out, Crayon Case, and it's tons of people coming out, Millie Cosmetics. Do you feel like there's enough diversity?
I can honestly say that there's nothing wrong with wanting more, but we have definitely got to a place now from where we used to be, where we didn't have anything at all. You know, back in the day, it was only maybe 7 shades to choose from, and God hope he was one of those 7.
Right. Facts.
But now that we are in a place of time where I think a lot of companies, not just high-end, but your drugstores as well, they are starting to realize that, and it's going to, and it's just my POV, is that your number one consumer sometimes ain't Susie or Beth.
Right.
You know, it's Dominique. It's Trisha. Or it could be a Jamal. Or it could be a Dante. Or it could be a Kevin. You know, there's, or a Marisol. You know, people of color, not just being African American, but Latino, Latino American, Hispanic American, Afro Latino.
It's huge. It's a huge range of us.
Exactly.
It's a huge spectrum.
Exactly. We are all included being POCs, people of color. So to go back to the question you asked, I do feel like we have definitely made a mark, but there can be more. Why not have more? The more diversity you give out, the more diversity that there is for people to try certain different things. Because we know everything does not work for everybody.
Facts.
Right? Everyone has different skin issues, texture issues, not only with skin, but for hair, for body. So it's good to have this diversity. Again, we came a long way from where we used to be. And I say not just for me, but our parents and our grandparents. But there's nothing wrong with wanting more.
I agree with you. Yo, when you said that, all I thought, and please don't judge me, and it's probably funny, but growing up, it was I feel like all I really saw was either like blue grease, like of course it was a perm, either blue grease, or to me, it was the pink bottle with the lady on it with the wavy hair. So my hair was wavy. So I thought if I used that product because of the symbol, it was going to make my hair curly. Like, do you know how many years it took to find out that was the symbol to let you know if the product was good or not? No different from makeup. Like, if you look on the back of your makeup container, if you see like a container and it's dipped over, it's letting you know your expiration date of makeup. And it's so funny. I was like my 20s in New York City when I found out that's what it meant. But growing up, I thought it meant to make your hair curly. So it's so funny that by the time something came out like that, I mean, at least for me, it was like Miss Jessie's when I was in New York, and that was still pretty new. And looking up, today I was sitting here reading a census report, and it was saying as African Americans, we use like 7-9 times more hair products. And we spend about 9 times as much on these products that we need, whether it's hair oil, whether it's conditioner, whether it's anything along that line. And I guess for me, while I do as a makeup artist, I feel like there's more options. I feel like it's not seen visually. That's where I'm very confused at. Does that make sense? So, I mean, personally, I feel like the magazine for me, like, to have the power of AI, and I'm doing these shoots and hair campaigns and stuff, and people are like, oh my God, like, how did you come up with this? And I'm like, don't get me wrong, I still had to do work, I still had to research it, I have to still sit down, I still had to type all of this stuff in to generate this image.
Yeah.
You get what I'm saying? Like, as a real creative director. But it's so crazy that I would assume that to see, I'm just thinking, like, you know, if it was Blue Cosmetics for black women, that it would be a cosmetic line with a whole bunch of different blue lights and very glamorous. And you get what I'm saying? I don't think it's enough visual representations of it. I think we talk representation a whole lot. I feel like every time I look around, it's like representation. We even saw it with Little Mermaid. Tons of girls were so inspired by her, even her red hair. I remember people were even giving kickback, like, it should have been a brighter color. And they brought in her actual hair specialist, who's a lock specialist, and they were like, this is why we actually chose the hair color, because this is what it would look like in lock hair underwater. Like, it was a long process they went through for this. And I was like, yo, I wish this was discussed so much more. And I do feel like when we do talk about representation, that to me is a big change. That's representation. As a black, you feel me? She's a black woman who's playing a Little Mermaid with her locks.
Yeah.
Her locks, not extensions put in. No. They took her locks and added on. I thought that's true representation with the hair to the doll to you seeing it in a movie theater on a visual scale in 2023. Yeah. It all made up sense. Her on the red carpet to the Barbie doll to the visuals. Yeah. It was 10, and Beyonce wears 10, 10, 10s across the board.
Yes.
And I will, even down to, I don't know if you saw this big uprise, I think it was earlier this year with Millie Cosmetics, and I think they did like an expansion and I want to say like a distribution like type of deal, and I could be wrong, I'll go back probably next podcast and go into that a little more deeply, but the context of what I wanted to say was people thought this black owned company was ran by a woman, was she, they thought she was going to sell it off. It was her, and I don't know, even if you know about this product, I think it was Honey Pot. And women were outraged. The internet was in outrage. And more specifically to the Millie Cosmetic part was, I wanted them to stay around because recently I was even in Walmart and they have a new campaign. It was like something dealing with like crown or like your crown or love your crown. And all of the advertising, they had these beautiful fantasy crowns on and the advertising was just amazing. And I was like, they get it. They absolutely get it. And that's what I mean. I was like, why don't we have magazines to showcase this type of illustration? Why don't we have the over-the-top Vogue for us, or you get what I'm saying, or W for us, to really show that black creativity or Asian creativity or, you feel me, Hispanic creativity. And I even remember where me and you were talking, it was like, hey, don't leave out the plus girls and the drag queens. And I was like, and that's the real thing. I was like, I don't think, I want to say probably besides Precious Lee, I want to say, let me back up. Takara was probably my first, then Precious Lee.
Yes, ma'am.
And
yes,
seeing,
ma'am.
And especially seeing Precious Lee as the lead in a Drake video, I was like, okay, okay. But even in a beauty campaign, we have not seen that. On the cover of a magazine, completely decked out in glamour, we haven't seen that. And for it to be 2023, that's when I hear people say, we need more visual representation and more diversity. I'm like, well, why are we not matching that from products to visualization to, you get what I'm saying? To movies, to everything. Like, everything.
I have a lot of opinions.
Go ahead, give them to me. Go.
My first one, I would say funding.
I say
funding because whoever's in charge
of the
whole pie.
Yes.
I don't think they're distributing it the way that it should go. Because I don't think we can focus, even though we love the product. We love the product. But I would love to see the product on somebody that looked like me.
Right.
So I definitely think finances has a lot to do with it. And then secondly, I would say resources, but honestly, I don't even believe that what I'm saying right now, resources, because it's undeniable resources in the day and age that we live in now. So resources can't even be the issue.
So now it's just, so now basically you're just saying it's intent. It's people who are just.
It could be. I personally, we would never know.
Right.
But it could be. You know, who's behind it? Who truly has the power behind all of these cosmetic brands, hair care brands, skin care brands, body care, lifestyle brands? Who has the power? Is it people of color?
Facts. Because
is it people of color driven?
Come on.
And if it's not, then those people that are in place, are they conscious about their consumption?
Facts. And let me tell you, so let's even break that down, because it's two things, and I'm even going to say something you said to me a couple years ago. So first of all, every point you just made was 10, 10, 10s across the board. If you cannot figure it out, I'm just very stuck on Renaissance. eat it. But
and because she looked good on Renaissance.
Hello. Like, again, and even if we stay on Renaissance and you're like, well, how are we getting into this? And this is a beauty podcast. Here's how. Because this is a woman who has just entered into this phase of life in her 40s while riding completely, you know, bareback on an imaginary golden silver horse who looks amazing. And I haven't heard one person talk about how she's too old to perform, how she's this or how she's that.
Yeah.
And I think it comes from just, again, same thing how you were saying. It's your brand. It's what your brand represents, what you lead with, and how you lead with it. And who you, like you said before, who's making the decisions of that brand, and are you putting the resources and the money behind it? So going just to say something like that, I do agree with you, Jay. I think that, and even back to the point I was saying, it's only like 1% of those brands on the shelf or even being owned by these people of color. So I think it does. I think it goes back to a lot of us getting into the game and getting informed, too, is coming together to figure out how we can fund these things and keeping the funding going. And I do agree to your point. It's three. It's knowing who your consumer is and knowing who your audience is. And, yeah, you know, bringing that back to Beyonce, say what you want to say. She knows her audience. And I feel like when you're locked into your audience, which is your purpose, your mission, and your vision, she's gonna be like Cher and Tina Turner, 60, 70, 80 years old, still putting out Apple albums and performing.
There you go.
Period. Because she knows her audience. She's in her pocket of her audience. And you ride that. And I think what happened, I don't know if you remember this conversation, Jay. Me and you was talking one time, and it was this girl who had a lip gloss line. And I was like, so you never thought about manufacturing this or this, this, this? And he was like, B. And I was like, what? And he was like, you know, everybody doesn't think like that, have been taught to think like that, or don't even know about the beauty business to the point where they go down that rabbit hole. So I do. I think it is a lot of us, and hopefully this podcast is one of those things where it can inform people behind the scenes. If you want to be in this industry, you have to know your long-term goals for being in this industry. Because it is forever changing. It's forever changing. It is forever changing. And it's longevity. Longevity wins. We're talking about Beyonce and screaming like she just came out. And we grew up with her. She's 20 years into it. To the point, like, when Blue Ivy jumped on the stage, I was like, Lord, the baby's 11? How?
Exactly.
How? It didn't even feel that time.
Right. And even to piggyback off of you really quick, I'm sorry to interject.
No. Go ahead.
It was a thought that was in my mind because I remember when you were saying in the introduction, for me, and I appreciate it, I do work for Laura Mercier, and if you don't know who Laura Mercier is, then you must be living on a rock, or you must just
especially in the beauty industry, baby. Especially in the beauty industry.
It's very innovative, okay?
Very.
If it wasn't for her, you wouldn't have primers. If it wasn't for her, you would not have the mastering effect of a translucent powder. If it wasn't for her, you would not know about oil-free mascara.
Listen, you wouldn't even really be talking about, let's be clear, you wouldn't even be talking about bacon the way you're talking about bacon.
I mean, if you really want
to be honest. Now, don't get me wrong. If we're going to get into the stuff, drag queens been baking. When you get into your old school makeup artist, Kevin, you feel me? Your Kevin Laquans and all of those people, you feel me? They were very big into the drag scene and that type of thing. So baking has been around for years. It's just what they use to bake is a lot heavier than what you would use as a consumer or a quick product. You feel me? You're not going to bake like a drag queen going to a show if you go into your 9-to-5 or you a dentist. Listen, and I was just about to say, and Auntie Tabitha, now that is your business. Now let me be clear. Now if that's your brand and that's your business, cool. Now you get what I'm saying?
I do.
But when we think about the consumer part of it, that is a true thing. I would normally, if I'm on camera all day in the whole nine, I'm going to use me a banana powder. I don't care. I am going to always forever be loyal to it. Forever and a day. If I am on a red carpet taking pictures, I'm going to go to the lay. I'm going to go to the lay. To Little Mercy. Because the finishing of it is a lot lighter and I'm more in front of people face to face. See what I'm saying? Versus on a stage where I need to look extremely pressed because I'm sweating. It's a lot happening. and I have to look pressed this entire 2-3 hour performance, or on camera 2 or 3 hours under lights and the whole nine. So that's what we mean by versus entertainment, performing versus consumerism.
Well, back to the main issue, excuse me, about I got tongue twisted. In this whole Renaissance era, well, might as well just say Renaissance.
Because it is, it is. We are here.
Of being, having more representation, being more inclusive. That's the word. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, come on, Jesus.
I know working with Laura, I've seen advertisement-wise, on social media especially, I've seen more advertising with POC, people of color, now than I have ever with her brand, even though I wasn't that familiar with her brand because I originally from the East Coast and I moved to the West Coast. But now being here and learning more different brands and learning that every brand has their own niche, their own objective, I do see that a lot of the higher end brands like the Laura Mercier's, the Charlotte Tilbury's, the NARS, the Dior's, the East St. Laurent, seeing them now, there is such a captivating moment of people of color.
Yes.
Not just for African Americans, but like I said, people of color as a whole.
I think, go ahead. Because I definitely want to jump back on what you're saying with that, with all of the high-end brands.
To see the representation, like I said, beginning be where it is now, there has been an impact. And if you're blind to it, I don't know what else to tell you. If you really take the time to think about 5 years ago, just 5.
Yes.
It was not that much as it is now.
So then, and stay there. So stay right there. So you're basically tapping right on top of the head of what I want to ask you. Being that you've seen trends and you've seen how people jump on bandwagons and jump off, we've seen it with tons of stuff. With this diversity and this inclusion, with all of these people jumping on it, do you feel like it's more of people waking up? Do you feel like it's more people saying, hey, I need to, whether it's women, men, you know, in this category of people of color, saying, hey, like you were saying before, I need to step up, be more educated and own it? Or do you feel like it's just a money grab? It's a ploy for right now. It sounds good. We don't want to get canceled. So let us just throw some people in there and then just, you know, later back around, maybe we're going to go back to our own thing. That's my big. Do you think it's just a marketing branding thing, or do you think this is really here to stay?
I think it's both, because who would not be aware of the consciousness of the consumers?
Right.
Not in the profit. I do think they both go hand in hand. The fact that we have reached a place, not only in social media, but just in society, when in beauty, that there truly is now something for everybody.
So here's, and I'm so glad you came back to that. So that's what I was saying. Do we think it's a phase or not? Because it's one of those things, and you said it before, like 5 years ago, saying that it wasn't as much for us on the market, to now, when I get online, it is like scab all is this, it's edge control, it's a bonnet for this. Like, it is so many things that you can do now. Wigs, weaves, caps, color for your wigs, color for your lace. You get, like, it's so many things now. So do we, you get where I'm asking? Like, we have so many options now. Is it just, what is it now? You get what I'm saying? Because it's so many colors of foundation you can find. We have so many things on the market. What's the issue now? So you get what I'm saying?
I do, but the only thing I could think what the issue would be, the only issue would be, again, if these companies, regardless of whatever their status and tier may be, if they're not conscious about their consumer and show that representation of what the consumer needs.
Consistently.
They need a visual representation of whatever product they're offering. I do think
then it would be even.
Or it could go downhill.
Right, because of how the pictures come out.
take his own down.
Facts.
But again, we have gotten to a place, ladies and gentlemen, that are listening. And again, this is all just in my personal opinion.
Yeah, this is us.
Right. And I was a professional opinion. We've gotten to a place where there truly is something for all of us now. And right. I make a good point of bringing in, since we're in the month of June, June is Pride Month. Let's talk about really quick before we wrap up, because I know we have to wrap up momentarily. Let's talk about Patrick Starr, you know, with his brand One Size. To have someone that's LGBTQIA, to have someone that's queer, to have someone that, yeah, consider them a person of color.
Yeah.
They're more on the lighter spectrum of melanin, but person of color because of his ethnicity. To have a brand where the main focus was and the objective is to make everyone feel good about themselves. So now you have a product and a line and a niche where everybody can fit. His stuff is in Sephora, so I go on Sephora's more than I go outside of Ulta's. And to see his variety of shades, to see his undertones of shades, just like you, London, just like myself, he was a Mac boy as well.
Listen, I don't care what anybody says. Mac is a foundation. Mac, you get what I'm saying? It is. When it comes to them hiring you, to how they gave out gratis and being a product specialist and going to stuff, they were really, really, again, it was a twofold. They knew who their audience was. They knew who they were going after, and on the back end, they knew training their employees and having them excited about their product that they have to sell was just equally as important. Like you said it, they knew on both ends, the representation at the counter. They had every weird girl, gay girl, glam girl. If you was into punk rock, not, you saw everybody at the Mac counter.
Yeah.
I don't care what you saw. Whatever your flavor was, you got it at the Mac counter. Whoever you wanted to be, you can use their products and get it from however you wanted to get it. They understood it from top to bottom. And it's so funny you brought in Patrick Starr, and I was going to bring it up when you said, we have everything now, because literally there are men coming out with lines of makeup. You have tons of celebrities who are dropping David Beckham, if I'm not mistaken. I think it's a skincare line. He did. Somebody, it is it's a line in Japan, man line. Who else? And then
if you're talking about men of beauty, Patrick Ta.
Amazing. Again, he's a Pacific. Is he Asian or Pacific Islander? Again,
I think he's Pacific Islander.
So listen, you have them. Then you have Brett. Oh my God, I love Brett. Bretman Rock. You had him covering.
Bretman Rock covering.
He covered him.
There's so many other Instagram and YouTube influencers. Who's
the other guy? He came out. He did. Remember, he did the collection with Morph, and then he's coming out with a line called Painted. James
Charles.
Right. So you have now even men coming out with products specifically focused for men. So skincare, light foundation, cover up. And it's so funny, we can't say, that's weird, when back in the day, men wearing wigs and makeup was completely an everyday normal thing.
Yeah.
So now that you're seeing this huge market expand for men, again, it's something on the market for everybody, from all natural to you know what I mean, to now sexuality, race, gender. It's so many things on the market. So that's why I was like, well, what are we missing now? And me personally, it's just the visuals matching up to the product. And how long is that going to go? And I really feel like that's what's going to stand the test of time.
I agree.
And for people of color, I think we really have to step up our own visuals. I think we're waiting for brands who are not owned by us, who are not marketed to us, who are not made for us to do it. And I mean, me personally, the whole Glamour Boss magazine to me was, I'm not even going to lie, it was me saying, how long have you heard me say, oh my God, love editorial. And so many people have said, oh my God, you're never going to make money in it. It's going to be so hard to make money because black people don't. And I'm like, yo, this is bullshit. We love editorial. We love creative stuff. But if we don't see ourselves on it consistently, to look like this consistently, how do you think somebody's going to consume it?
Exactly. May I give a suggestion, an example?
Yeah, yes.
Because I watch her live on Instagram right now and on TikTok.
Who?
Danessa Myrick.
Oh, go in the making.
When I tell you...
She gets it.
When I tell you it's editorial, yes. But it's so diverse, and she shows you how to use it. And if you're listening, her team, I would love to do something with you. Thank you so much.
I think because, again... Her. Same thing. Not to cut you off. But it's the same thing we were saying about Patrick. Knowing where you came from, going to makeup shows, she was a professional artist. Same thing you were saying. You listen to your consumers. You know your consumers. And I think a lot of times, we're not making products with us in mind. Meaning, if you're the owner, if you're the person over it, you have to keep it going. So if this is not your passion and you don't love it, stay out of it. And I think with everybody talking about glam and luxury, that's not for everybody. Everybody doesn't want two pairs of lashes, glam, and the whole nine. I live for it. I'm like about that life. And I think that's what people, I personally feel like that's what people are going through. They're trying to separate the fantasy of stuff, something that's a good idea, versus it being long, like they can pull it off as the leaders, the owners, the visionaries, if they can push it off.
And you know what, I might have to slightly disagree with that, because I personally don't see that, especially on the retail end of it. What I see is, okay, so we're out of COVID, correct?
Yeah. I don't know, Beyonce said we was outside and we was all outside, so I don't know.
But we was wearing masks.
I don't remember when we officially did, like, I thought, I don't know, maybe it could have just been me, maybe I watched too many movies, I guess I thought we were just gonna, you feel me? Yeah, I thought we were gonna have, like, a presidential situation, the president says, hey guys, COVID's over, you can come back outside, but, I just feel like we all listened to Beyonce album, Beyonce was like, y'all, we outside, and everybody was like, well...
Well, hey, Beyonce 2024. Okay, that's all I can say.
Listen.
But, you know, after COVID, everything changed. But in beauty, it alone changed.
Yeah.
Because beauty no longer was the full glam.
Yeah.
Now we're wearing masks. Now we're wearing face shields. So what can we do to not only still feel and look beautiful, but make our skin healthy, because we were in the house for so long? We noticed our skin changing. We noticed that things were different. We noticed that, hey, which is, it had texture, has now smoothed out. Maybe it was the makeup. So now you have brands that are high end and low end that are being more skincare innovative with color, which we love. We need.
But listen to what you said. Listen to what you just said. Innovative. Because who was it? I think, what's the name of the brand? Tropical? That came out with the under eye patches, and if I'm not mistaken, I think she's African based, and came out with the under eye patches. And I think she's the youngest woman, period, or the youngest person, either youngest person, youngest woman, or youngest Black woman to ever raise that amount of money and funding so fast. But I guess I will say this: I'm gonna go back to you, but listen to what you said. They're innovative. Even if they're working in skincare, they're still innovative to the point they see something where they want to pursue it and keep making it better. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I mean,
coming from retail, beauty took a hit.
Yes.
So makeup took a hit.
A hard hit. Matter of fact, let's be very clear. Color.
Really quick before I forget it.
Yeah.
Skincare and hair went up. Skincare. All of my friends who were vendors and freelancers in the skincare industry, they were making hours.
Right.
Because the budgets and everything was just going up. So now you had these big brands, and like I said, high end and low end, that were saying, okay, let's pull these back really quick. Let's reformulate and then bring these out. A lot of brands have done that since then are continuing to do that, because that's the main issue for the consumer. Hey, the match is beautiful. The undertone is good. I love the coverage. Is it good for my skin? Is what they're asking. And I love that part. That.
But hence again, I think you're a scam person. Well, I think it's a couple of things, like you just said. A couple of things that just went on. In the makeup industry, if we got niche specific, color took the most hit. So if you're not, if you don't know how makeup is broken down, so you can say like, hey, I work in beauty. And then people can turn around and say, do you work in skincare? Do you work in fragrance? Or do you work in color?
Right.
So that's one. So even when you hear us say like a lot of our makeup, a lot of our people in beauty got impacted. I know tons of hairstylists who were still booked and busy. And even makeup artists who, let me back up. I know tons of makeup artists who got hit really, really, really hard. But a lot of their hair people took on the makeup job and hair for weddings.
Yeah.
A ton of skincare. Of course, skincare was up really, really, really big too. So that's what we mean by when we say certain markets got hit hard and other people didn't. Like, for instance, I didn't get a lot of stuff happening in beauty, but same thing, my consulting business actually took off. So it was more people like, okay, how do I, you know, pivot here? How do I make more graphics or ads? Or how does my brand look more visually appealing? So I do agree with you. I think color did that. I think color, for a lot of brands who are focused on, like, again, like Fenty, MAC, NARS, those would be color, like makeup. That's what we're talking about. I do agree with you. I think a lot of those companies took those 2 years off, got readjusted, re-quated, and then came back out stronger. Or, like you said before, they had to get innovative and they started to branch stuff with skin, and you saw tons of people doing that. Everybody came out with a mask, some under eye patch, cooling lip sensation. You feel me? Then I was seeing people who was doing stuff in case your face was getting dry with masks. I was seeing lip peels a lot. In color, who did take off? Brows took off. Brows took off. Yeah. Brows was a huge, huge sell.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It was a huge sell. So don't get me wrong. I feel like every business, you're going to have to pivot. You're going to have to change stuff up. And like you said, listen to your consumer, because right now, if the world changed and everything was completely dry, body care would completely take off. Hair care would completely take off. You know what I mean? And matter of fact, we even saw that, for instance, with someone like J-Lo. Matter of fact, J-Lo is a perfect example. I don't know if you saw this. So J-Lo came out with her makeup line, and I was like, oh my God, that was the worst thing for her. And I was like, I thought inside, why doesn't she do like a body line skin? Like, her skin is always nice. People talk about her body, her butt. Why wouldn't she do something focused towards that? So her color line didn't take off. They rebranded, came back out, and then she relaunched J-Lo Beauty, J-Lo, J-Body, or Body by J-Lo, something along that line. And when she did that, sales took off. And it was everything for tightening of the buttocks, the legs, the arms, the face, and the skin. And that's exactly what I mean. Like, if you are the person coming out with a cosmetic line, it has to be something true and dear to you. You have to use about the products. They have to have fixed something for you. I was up the other night at like 4 a.m. watching Cindy Crawford talk about her skincare line. That's like half skincare, half like makeup line. And she started it because she thought her skin was great until she went overseas and she met this doctor who was really focused on like healing the skin. And tightening the skin. And of course, she's a supermodel. So she's been working on this for years to keep her beauty and stuff. Because why? That's how Cindy Crawford is famous. By how she looks. That and her mold. And so listening to all her advertising, listening to everything, stuff started to click. And if you even saw the women who was coming out, most of the women who were coming out were women between like their 30s and like their 50s going into their 60s. They all wanted to maintain tightness of the skin. And even the people she had like doing the promos with her, remember Grey's Anatomy? So Meredith. And then remember Derek, the lady he was with, his wife, the one with the orange hair. So she had, I'm going to use their character names, Derek's wife, the one with the red hair, and then Meredith as her spokespeople. And they were talking like how they felt great in their 30s and 40s, but now they're approaching 50s and they're seeing the tightness in their skin and they're this and they're that and they still want it. And I was like, see, that's exactly what I'm saying. Those products are going to work because the person who's representing, one, she's taking pictures all the time. She's talking about her skin, how long she's been using it, why she's done it this way. The spokespeople are around her same age, same issues. And when she's out talking to women, it's the same issue, same stuff. All her before and after videos was showing the difference of the skin, what she wanted to do, their upcoming products, how it works. And I think that's, like we talked about before, I feel like what's really missing in the diversity piece is how to use the products, how to keep it going, and more innovative ways to use it. Because I feel like that's really, I feel like that's how skincare won in the pandemic.
Yeah, and that's why I said, shout out, going back to color, Danessa Myers. That's what she
won.
Done.
And she, matter of fact, I heard, yeah, it was a lot of talk about her in the pandemic.
I mean, she came out with products that were multi-useful. You know, us as makeup artists, and if you're a makeup artist, excuse me, out there, you know that you can use one product for like five things. To see her show everyday women that they can use this one pigment to be an eyeshadow, to be a highlighter, to be a lip color, that
it changed the game.
It helps the consumer, because the consumer, especially for that type of beauty, ranges from, if I had to use my own opinion from what I see in store, I would say from mid-20s to probably mid-40s. She has a big gap of two different generations. One that loves to play and be dramatic, and one that likes to be subtle, but maybe dramatic on the nighttime. But each one of those wants to use it every day. She's a great example of showing how to use it, describe how it's used, representation of color, not only for African American women, but other colorful women and men as well. I had a good friend of mine from back home who's a makeup artist and hairstylist, and she went to a beauty expo and she did a Danessa Myers class. She said she enjoyed it. Danessa was pleasant and sweet. The information, education she got, she was like, she enjoyed it. So when it comes to things like that,
And let me say this too, to top that off, I think another part you nailed with Danessa too, she stayed true to who she was. She stayed true to who her essence was as a creative who loved editorial, who loved pushing the boundaries. And everybody around her is what? An educator, they teach. And that's one thing I feel like she pulled over into who she is in her brand. She taught everything. She still did trade shows. She still marketed the product. She went out. It was completely true to who she was. And I think she's able to sell a product to 20 to 40 because she's been using that product from 20 to 40. Meaning, if you're a makeup artist, like you said, you learned in your 20s in your kit because you had either no money for a kit, you was trying to buy the good stuff for your good clients, and then the other stuff for every day, and then you were playing in it, you had to figure out how to make your kit stretch. And then if you're on a plane or somewhere where your kit got lost or you can't take as much, you have to get creative with how you use stuff. So I think she was able to make a product that way because she saw, as the artist, how many things you have to use. Also, the consumer, if you wanted to look like an Instagram baddie and you only had 20 minutes, and being that, you know, she's getting older, I felt like she felt the same way. You know what I mean? It's the same thing. Even if I love using 50 products, I have to now turn around and work with the client. I want to use as minimum as possible to get my overall look because I don't have the same amount of time because I have to go to work.
Yeah.
So I feel like she stayed true to herself from the beginning to the end. And I think, again, if we have to wrap this up with the perfect example, I think she would be the perfect example of taking the editorial that you love and teaching and loving it and being true to your brand and the visuals matching her actual work and what she actually does to, you feel me? To it actually touching the person's doorstep. So if they ever came out and saw her work, they saw her do something, the product is authentic from the top to the bottom.
Yeah.
I just do. I feel like she's a perfect example when we talk about diversity and inclusion and including people, the consumer, in your product. Did you think about it? The leader, the visionary of it, as well as the representation of it.
Absolutely.
I think she gets it. But look, Jay, we don't want to hold you up back and forth. We know we have like tons of time to talk, and we got to have you back as a guest on the podcast. But listen, for this to be our first one back, coming back to it, I just think these topics were super amazing. And all month long, we're going to be talking about diversity, inclusion. What do you feel like needs to be happening on the market? What do you feel like you need to see? And even if you are a beauty professional, what product on the market do you see that's killing it right now? Maybe it's somebody we didn't even bring up or mention. So let us know in the comments or hit us up. You can always follow me at anywhere on social media if you put in London Nicole, or if not, you can follow me at Glamour Boss Podcast. And you got to follow Jay Sky, because first of all, on top of him being fabulous, funny, and informative, he has so much going on. Jay, where can they follow you at?
You can follow me on Instagram at fabulous, fabulous underscore jaye. I'm definitely more active up there than I am on my Facebook, but if you do go into my bio, there is a link that will send you to a separate page that I do have on Facebook. It's the Fabulous Jay Sky. That page has a lot of my content for media, drag shows I've done around here in West Hollywood and LA, or some shows I've done back home, podcasts that I've been on a few, and a podcast that I've done in the past. So definitely follow me on Instagram if you got any questions, any comments, concerns, or even criticisms. Maybe I can take them too.
Listen, I'm about to say, listen, I hope you would, like I said before, I was about to say something completely different. I'm about to say criticism. Boy, bye. You'll be sitting there laughing. But yeah, like if you have anything to give us back. But again, we have a lot of these things are one, our professional opinion by working at these places and being in an industry. And as well as, you know, I'm going to still say professional opinion, because it's no way to get out. I keep wanting to say personal opinion, but we've been in this for so long and we do it as a job, and I think we're experts in what we do. I want to say professional opinion, because some of these people we have either followed, we have had same jobs, similar jobs, taking classes, yeah, been at trade shows, played with product, broke products. So again, if you're listening to this, it's several different ways. Like I said, I want you to take this, whether you are a consumer and you want to go try some of these brands, or if not, if you're on the end with us where you are a professional service-based provider where you do the services, you go out and you talk, you know, you do the services. Or if you are in the business where you actually have a hair salon or a makeup studio, we would love to have you on the show to give your opinion, what's happening in your market, in your city. And again, with this whole month being about innovation, diversity, inclusion, I really want to hear your thoughts on who are some of the brands that you're eyeing for, you're looking for. What are some brands you don't think is going to last too long? No matter how many black people they put on it, you know it is still not going to work. It is still not your jam. Because in some companies, they be pushing this and you be like, no, it is ashy. It is not working. It is not working.
Baby.
Listen, because there's some brands, no matter how you try to mix and make it work, baby, the flash is getting, it's just giving you a flashback. No matter what you do, it's a flashback. So let me know what brands are killing it. What brands are you really excited to talk about? So I got to get Jay Scott sometime this month to come back up here, because I have a list of black owned products who have, whether they just hit Walmart or Target, I definitely have to ask him if he's tried it or if he's seen it. So hopefully we can get Jay Scott back at the end of the month with some of your opinions in about what brands actually killed it, didn't kill it. Even if you want to talk about their packaging or their advertising, let us know what you think. And as always, being in charge of your brand has never looked so good. So stay fabulous, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye, boo.
Bye.